It's now 35 minutes past 9 o'clock, and I mentioned it to you a little bit earlier on. I've got a very special guest in the studio with me. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
So we're talking all about used cars today. Very interesting research about white lies. Can you tell us a bit more about the percentage of people in our area that actually tell white lies to sell their cars?
Of course. Well, it looks like in Slough and the surrounding areas, it's 26% of people who are selling their cars that would be prepared to tell a white lie. That's just under the UK average of 28%. So you're not doing too bad.
But it's still a quarter of the population, isn't it,
yes,
selling their cars?
Yeah, it seems to be a very common thing. And it backs up some of the research that we find at HPI, where we see that one in every three cars checked with us, unfortunately, has a hidden history. So it stands to reason that people are willing to tell a white lie when it comes to selling it.
What are the most common white lies people are telling?
The most common one appears to be finance outstanding. So that's where somebody has taken out finance on the car previously, and with the rise in logbook loans recently, you can imagine that when somebody's selling the car, it's not something that they want to say, that there's actually a loan outstanding. Now, the vast majority of people will actually pay off the loan when the car is sold, but there are people who don't, and it leaves people at risk of a visit from the repo man, which is not a very nice experience, as you can imagine.
Why do you think people are doing it? Why are they telling these white lies in order to sell their cars?
Well, you know, there are significant sums of money outstanding on cars are involved. And if somebody's selling a car for £7,000, £8,000, £10,000 and they've got to settle finance, they need to sell it quickly. And they don't want to engage in too much talk around the sale that's going to put people off. So they tend to put a kind of a polish on how they might present their cars. The finance check is one area, but we are seeing a rise in people who are actually telling a white lie with the odometer reading and winding it back to let people believe that.
That's commonly known as the clock, isn't it?
That's right, car clocking. Car clocking, it's rife. We're finding more than 1 in 20 cars that show up in our reports have been clocked. And, you know, you might feel, Tony, when you're doing it, that it's a kind of an innocent thing to do and a white lie. But unfortunately, the odometer readings in most cars are linked to the safety systems. And you can compromise the safety of the car by clocking it. So it's one of the areas that people should be really mindful of when they're checking a car before they buy it.
They should, shouldn't they? Wow, that's really interesting. Is there a difference in age as well between people who are more likely to tell a little fib, and those who aren't?
Yes, it's the 18 to 24-year-old category who are more likely to do it. Yeah. If you're meeting somebody in a car park, which, by the way, you should never do to buy a car, always meet somebody at home. But if it's an 18 to 24-year-old coming out, take everything they say with a pinch of salt, because they are more likely to be telling a white lie, statistically.
Oh, dear. Okay. That's really good advice there. So if any of our listeners out there, perhaps they are planning to sell their car or to buy their car, do you have any good advice? What would be your top tip?
Well, the top tip is obviously to check it out. Check its history online. It costs less than half a tank of petrol, and it can be done in a jiffy. But if you're actually at the car and you don't have access to the internet to do that, there are some simple tips you can do. And the one I'd recommend is to look for a full service history in the car. Open up that service book, go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and if you've got a moment, ring some of the garages who've stamped the service book and ask them to back up what you can see, because that's where you'll find a really nice documented history on the car. Never buy at a car park, Tony, as I said earlier, and don't pay with cash. Always make sure it's a bank draft that's traceable later.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point as well. And what would you say are the biggest risks from buying from a private seller instead of, I don't know, perhaps going online or going to someone more reliable?
Yeah, well, you know, buying privately, it is a case of buyer beware. And we've got 649 cars a day flagging up at the moment as insurance write-offs. So that's a real problem. These are cars that have been involved in a significant accident or claim, and an insurance company's decided they're not going to repair it. They'll let it go back out to the person who owns the car, and they can elect to get somebody else to repair it. And we find that a significant amount of those repairs are done substandard, and they tend to end up on the private market because they won't qualify for any manufacturer's warranties or aftercare programs. So be mindful of that as well. If the price is too good to be true, ask a lot of very detailed questions. Normally you'll find it's hiding something, so be very careful.
And when you're looking around the car, what could you look out for that might be hidden?
You know, that's a real tricky one, because we all tend to think that we're budding mechanics, don't we? We asked people recently what percentage of them had run a pre-purchase inspection on a car, and it was something like 70%. But it was 90% of those said they did it themselves. And that's a very difficult thing to do. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of watching a qualified engineer walk around a car, and it's amazing what they can spot just by looking at the lining of the badges on the cars. And for instance, if you lift the bonnet and you're looking at those little bolts on the side that hold on fenders and wings, if they've got scratches around them, it's an indication that there's been a body repair done. And it's a really hard thing for a layman to pick up on. But there are some cues like that. We've got them all up on our website, Tony, if people want to have a look.
Oh, wonderful. Where can everyone go to get some more information? Have a look at the website.
That's hpicheck.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Shane.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.